The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Saturday evening's action at the Breeders' Cup. The action at Santa Anita is set to be thrilling once again. And on this particular version of the podcast, it might be a little bit different to what we're normally used to. We're not going to get any views from over here on this side of the Atlantic. We're going to get the American view. We're going to speak to one of the traders over in Vegas. His name is Robert Kowalski, and get his Vegas view on the action over in America. Robert, how are you?
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you. It should be a really interesting view of this because obviously we know quite a lot about the UK and the European horses over here, but we don't necessarily know too much about some of the American horses. So hopefully you'll be able to fill us in on those.
We certainly will, yeah. And from what I'm looking right now, the forecast looks really nice. Sunny, it's not going to be much of a threat of rain. So we could always put that into consideration and put that to rest right off the bat.
Good stuff. Just talk us through your role as well with William Hill. You're a trader over in Vegas, yes?
Right. I handle race operations for William Hill here in the United States, mostly concentrating on our properties that offer horse racing, not only in Las Vegas, but up in Reno, Laughlin, and all throughout the state.
Okay, so you'll be able to fill us in on any market moves over there, any particularly interesting horses, and you can give us your thoughts on the form as well, which is always a useful addition. Before we start, what's the atmosphere like over in America? I mean, when we have big race meetings over here like Royal Ascot or Cheltenham or whatever, the atmosphere starts to build maybe a week or so ahead of the meeting. Is it building over there? Is there excitement about?
There is, and not only is there quite the build-up at the track that's hosting the Breeders' Cup, but here in the States as well. The Breeders' Cup may be only 2 days, but the build-up lasts all week. You know, there's parties and seminars and giveaways at almost every property that you go to, and of course, you can walk into any William Hill retail shop and you'll find the same atmosphere, so everyone's already looking and trying to figure out who's the best angle or, you know, where's the value at. So there's already a buzz that's been going on for more than a week.
Okay, and plenty of bets then, I imagine. People interested in that respect as well?
That's true. They do. And they look at it, and, of course, everyone that's, you know, with us here, you know, we're all quite interested in how it plays out. So we're more than happy to help out any patron that walks in.
Good stuff. Right, let's look at the racing then. I suppose we should actually look at some of the action. The first race we're going to look at is the 7:43 UK time, which is the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. It's a Grade 1 contest over a mile and a quarter, and $1,144,200 on offer to the winner in this race. So, as usual, a big prize on offer. Dank heads the betting over in the UK, a horse that we know plenty about for Sir Michael Stout, Ryan Moore in the saddle. But it'll be interesting to see your thoughts, to hear your thoughts rather, on Marketing Mix, the American runner who, according to our betting, would have the best chance of the home brigade. Is that what's showing over in America?
It's correct, right? And what I'm looking at is, you know, from a domestic side, Marketing Mix is on the radar, certainly with a repeating angle. So basically, what I'm noticing is that she enters with a pretty equally impressive resume in 20 starts, 10 wins, 5 places in a show, almost $2 million U.S. earned. Last year, she won the Rodeo Drive and then got first run in the Filly and Mare Turf before gamely missing to Zagora. And looks like she's taken a similar path here in 2013. Like the Fugue, Marketing Mix beat the boys, albeit in a grade 3. And again, she tuned up in the Rodeo Drive, second to Tiz Flirtatious. And unretired Gary Stevens has been on board for all 2013 starts. That I believe that has a little bit of karma to add to it.
Okay, so is she the one that American punters are wanting to be with then, or is there something else in there that's attracting the attention as well?
Well, naturally, everyone's eyes, even here, are on Dank, and the morning line of 5-2 shows that. There's probably another horse, but that I'm looking at right now outside the marketing mix, ones that are probably going to be pressed pretty hard is actually Romantica. And Romantica is a the Judmont homebred. It's a distance specialist that sports an interesting in-and-out form pattern. In many instances, of course, a Lasix here is the answer to curing that pattern. But a close look at the past performances show that she wins a prep at a mile and a quarter, but then runs poorly for the main goal, which is a graded stakes at 1.5. So if you're probably looking at a horse that's probably a better fit, it's sort of the two that we mentioned previously, and that's, of course, Dank and Marketing Mix, of course.
Okay. From a personal perspective then, for you, Robert, who would you be siding in this race?
I think that you did mention two of them. Romantica, there's a couple others that, everyone would probably want to have a little mention of. Tis Flirtatious seems to be pretty high up there on the board, but I don't know if that horse has what it takes to actually be in the mix in terms of class. So my two selections probably are going to be between Marketing Mix and Dank.
Okay, Marketing Mix and Dank then in the filly and mare turf. Let's move on to the next race that we're going to look at. This is the 905, which is the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, a grade one over 6 furlongs, and $500,000 pretty much on offer to the winner of this one. Which horses, there's plenty in the lineup for this one, which ones have been attracting the money over in America?
There's plenty to look at here, and wow, oh wow, there's so much to consider. Something that I'm looking for to be a contender in this race, you have to run sharply in your last prep race. I want to see you going between 4 and 12 times during the year, so you're relatively active. You won a graded race, and I'm finding all of this in a few. A few that I actually would like to mention right now would be Chips All In. And Chips All In is a horse that's trained by Jeff Mullins, and we're looking at it, and actually trainer Jeff Mullins actually has never saddled a BC winner and has been flying under the radar for the past few years ever since having a little improprietary action at Aqueduct by the New York Wagering and Racing Board. But nonetheless, Mullins now has perhaps his best shot at winning BC Gold with Chips All In, a recent winner of the Eddie D. Earlier in the campaign, the 4-year-old notched a win down the hill in the Grade 3 San Simeon and a nose loss to Unbridled Note in the Hernandez. So Chips All In turns the table on Unbridled Note in the Eddie D, and I think the colt has the tactical speed that should have him in contention turning for home. There's another one that I'd love to mention, and it's tough because sometimes a horse pulls on your heart instead of your head, and this might be one of those instances, but I do need to mention Misdirection. If it ain't broke, then don't fix it. And I certainly believe the trainer is a believer in that as well. Last year, Misdirection raced 4 times early in the campaign, capturing the Grade 3 Monrovia down the Santa Anita Hill, and 2 other races, including the Las Condes. He then puts a star mare on the shelf and trains her up for the BC Turf Sprint. She captured that 2012 edition off of a 5-month layoff. And making the ownership group quite happy. This year, it looks like he's following the same path. So Misdirection captured the 2013 Monrovia and the Las Condes before shipping east to run 5th in the Just a Game at Belmont. The conditions were pretty bad there, and it was something that they really haven't done in Misdirection's career. But again, Misdirection went on the shelf and is working long, hard, and quick. She's a perfect 5-for-5 down the hill, and she seems ready to defend her title. So I definitely would want, it puts a strong consideration, and I'm seeing a lot of talk about Misdirection.
Okay, a lot of talk about Misdirection then. Has there been a lot of market support to back that up as well?
And on which horse?
Misdirection.
Misdirection is currently appearing as a 4-to-1 morning line, which makes her the current favorite in the race.
Yeah. Okay, do you expect her to win then? You say it pulls on the heartstrings. Do you think she will win again, or do you think there's something else in the race?
I'm very big on past performances, and I look to history, and I have to say that the repeat performance for the win is probably in the cards.
Okay, a repeat performance there then. We'll look forward to that one. On to the third race, we must go. The 9:43 is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. It's a grade one on the dirt, this one, and it's over the extended mile trip. And if I get the betting up in front of me, over here we have Havana, the 3-1 market leader. Bondholder is 5-1. Tappet Rich is 6s. We Miss Artie is 8-1. Strong Mandate is the 9-1. Is a 9-1 shot. Dance with Fate is 10-1, and then 12-1 or bigger price as the rest. And as we usually see with the dirt races over in America, the American form is much stronger than the European form. Is that how you see it as well?
I do. And, you know, with the Juvenile, I have to say that the Juvenile is probably the second most popular race of the Classic, only because what we're looking at are potential stars. We could be looking at the possible Kentucky Derby winner, which is something that everybody wants to find out, who is going to be the winner of the Kentucky Derby here in the States. And what I'm looking for here, a little profile for a Juvenile, is you have to run sharply in your last prep race. I definitely want to see that you've run at least twice, but not more than 7 times during the year. That does happen every once in a while. Why they would run a 2-year-old horse more than 7 times is beyond me, but neither here nor there. And the last prep race was within the last 35 days. And so, as we mentioned, some of the horses, I want to separate the contenders from the pretenders here. Let's go ahead and start with Havana. This is a horse that you want to take a look at the post position. And the first thing that everyone takes a look at is, by oh my, this horse is way, way on the outside. And so that's something that, you know, may be tough to take, especially for a horse that's even as low as 5-2 morning line. The 13 post, it takes a special horse, you know, to win it, especially at 2 years old. But, you know, what I can tell you is, we're looking at this horse. Trainer Todd Pletcher, you know, won this race last year with Shanghai Bobby. The locals here in California were just an ordinary lot, and they were really ripe for the plucking. So, but guess what? It looks like it's pretty weak this year here as well. So I'm trying to find a way to downgrade the 2013 prospect Havana, but I simply can't find a weakness. He ran super fast sprinting in his career debut with a 102 buyer and earned all of his knocks because he didn't show any improvement in winning the Champagne with a 93. You know, a figure that tours over the local runners, and it's still actually 9 ticks better than anyone else in the field. So, you know, I really don't know how to take it. I think that this is probably the correct favorite. I just don't know if post 13 is going to be as big a hindrance as everyone makes them out to be.
Okay, so probably the correct favorite, and you think that maybe he could overcome the draw, but are the customers going for anything as an each way angle, a bigger odds than with the uncertainty around the market leader?
There is, actually, and then now we're starting to take a look at some prices. Some of the next prices up on the board are being ignored, and instead they're looking at horses like Bob Baffert's New Year's Day. And why? Why would they be looking at it? Well, it's a horse with a $425,000 U.S. purchase price, breaking its maiden on the Del Mar Synthetic, was training for the front runner when he spiked a fever. So Bob Baffert went to Plan B, which was basically called for skipping the Santa Anita Key Prep and training up for this Juvenile. You know, sometimes that could be a blessing in disguise. In this case, New Year's Day appears to be back on his game, rattling off a bullet 4 furlongs and then a 6-furlong bullet just 6 days later. So a win by this guy just might fit. I'm looking at what, you know, would make a contender here, and he's definitely qualifying on most of my bullet points above. You know, he's not exactly, he's showing a buyer improvement going from sprint to route. He's got a new top figure in his last race. He's got these 3 bullet workouts at Santa Anita. So New Year's Day, a horse that is, he's looking at a price at 8-1, is definitely something to look at if you're not interested in betting favorites in this race.
Okay, so New Year's Day could be a lively outsider then, and the good news for the listeners to this over in the UK as well is that it's 12-1 for New Year's Day over here, so a bit of value for us. But if I were to ask you to pick, then you've said that you're not sure that the draw is going to be too much of a hindrance to Havana. New Year's Day has also been popular. Who would you side with, in your opinion?
You know, between there's actually one more that I'd like to mention, and I think between Havana New Year's Day and this next horse, which is currently trading at 8-1 on the line. The horse Bondholder is one that I would definitely want to mention as well. So, you know, I've so far got it down to three. I'd like to have it down to one, but, you know, with time I'll probably get there. So mentioning Bondholder, front runner, upsetter Bondholder spent the entire summer gaining ground and passing horses in the stretch, but it was all on synthetic. The problem was that Bondholder couldn't get past the winner, his first four starts. So someone might want to take a look at these past performances and says, okay, well, something's wrong. They're not figuring something out with this horse yet. Well, he switches over to dirt, got a little bit longer, bingo. Breaks the maiden by winning the front runner at 13-1. His win in the front runner was notable because he was relaxed and well back of only a moderate pace. And so he responded when asked for run going into the final turn and surged to the lead mid-stretch. He was out well after the finish, indicating that he had won with something left in the tank. So the one negative that I have is that he didn't get home fast, perhaps indicating that he was past exhaustion competition. Even so, those devoted to the Baffert and Pletcher two-year-olds may be in for another surprise from this Doug O'Neill youngster.
Okay, sounds interesting then. Let's move on to the next race then. We'll move on to the 10-22, which is the Breeders' Cup Turf, a grade one over a mile and a half. And as far as we're concerned over in the UK, this is we have a big hope in this, in the shape of the Fugue, who's the 2-1 market leader over here. But who's the big American hope in this race?
You will find a similar following for the Fugue at 3-1. This is no secret. it's a great horse, and I know everyone's you know, quite well versed in what this horse has already done. I feel it's an absolute contender. If we wanted to look at another horse, I wouldn't look at anyone really in the double digits on the morning line because there's not many contenders in this race. So the two that I definitely want to mention, however, are Indy Point and Little Mike. So let's start with Little Mike. It's 6-1 currently. His connections perhaps made a tactical error by kicking him off the campaign with a pair of races in the UAE. You know, of course, Mikey ran terrible in both those races, and he needed some time to recoup. He resurfaced in the Grade 1 United Nations, setting the pace, but then fading to fourth. He also set the pace in the Arlington Million and faded to sixth. But just when everyone was writing him off, Little Mike rebounded with a sharp win in a Turf Classic at 7-1. Joel Rosario rode him in the UN and the Million, but Mike Smith switched on for the Turf Classic. So as mentioned above, Smitty took this guy off the pace just like Ramon did in the 2012 Turf. His 104 buyer fig puts him back in the 2013 Turf picture. And I also think that she should benefit well by the late addition of Speedsters. Who do we have here? Sky Ring and Teaks North to the field. And that's going to allow him to rate early and get first run. One big negative that I do want to mention, and it's this is why I keep coming back to the feud, but the one big negative is his age. No six-year-old has ever won the turf. So
yeah.
The other horse that I did mention, just a couple of words on Indy Point, trading at plus 459 to 2 on the morning line. Mandela's back, looking for his third turf victory, this time with the enigmatic Indy Point. It's an Argentinian champ banking about $500,000 on that circuit. Indy Point won his stateside debut by capturing the non-graded wicker. That set him up for a try in the Arlington Million, but Indy never lifted a hoof, leaving both rider Gary Stevens and Mandela at a loss to why. But this four-year-old colt rebounded nicely with a strong win in the John Henry on home turf. And so there's, of course, history on the side with this guy.
Okay, good stuff. So we have the Fugue favourite over here. You've mentioned that she's popular over there as well. John Gosden, of course, used to train in America. Does that have any impact on the profile of the horse over there?
Not so much, but, you know, when you take a look at the Racing Post figures of 121 and 123, these are career-high figs, you know, and of course, last two starts in the UK. This speaks very loudly, and for a betting public that wants to find something that they can put their foot down on, they look at a figure like that, and, you know, this is a race that's it's not exactly one that state-bred horses can dominate in. So when you see a horse, a four-year-old filly like the Fugue, I don't think she's going to have really much of an issue taking on the men and the boys here.
Okay, yeah. Who are you siding with then here? If I were to ask you for your opinion, who would you go with?
It'll be the Fugue today.
Okay. The Fugue, everyone on Europe's side in this race then. moving on to the 1101, which is the Breeders' Cup Sprint, a Grade 1 contest on the dirt. It's over a 6-furlong trip, this one. And it's very much a race that is mainly won by American bred horses and American horses. So which ones are the ones to concentrate on this year?
Right, exactly. What we want to look for in winner's profile is that you're running sharply in your last prep race. Again, you're running between 4 and 12 times during the year, and you're well rested. 15 winners scored off of layoffs ranging anywhere between 35 to all the way up to 132 days. So we definitely want to see at least one win in 2013 at 6 furlongs, and posting a figure of 105 or higher during the 2013 campaign. That being said, there's going to be some horses that you'll look at 4-1 that may not be up for the test, only because I don't believe that they're going to have a class of three horses that I'm looking at. The first is Fast Bullet. Fast Bullet at 6-1 currently is... basically, this is a horse that's flashing its ability by capturing the True North with a 110 buyer, and that's as a wagering entry with Justin Phillip, who finished second. But after the True North, of course, Zayat moved Fast Bullet to the D-Wayne Lucas Barn. His comebacker was in the forego, where he set the pace trying to set it up for Justin Phillip again. Now he comes in as the long layoff in the field, but with a very nondescript work line. Fast Bullet will not be a hot horse in 2013, and that's what's intriguing. Too bad it's the morning line is only 6-1. I really feel that we could have gotten a little bit more value, but I'll take 6-1, any time as a winner, especially knowing how difficult this field is. A horse that I promoted from a horse that I didn't think was going to be in the mix, but now I'm seeing some things that have improved in this horse's favor, is Gentleman's Bet. At 8-1, it's certainly a 6-furlong specialist, having raced only at that distance in his short 8-race career. Flashed some solid form and buyers in winning dirt dashes at Churchill. Raced an allowance with 107 there, and at Prairie Meadows hit another 107 in the Iowa Sprint Handicap. At Saratoga, ran third in the Grade 1, A.G. Vandy with a 103, and he raced recently third on the synthetic in Keeneland's Phoenix. So we're talking about almost like a road warrior here, albeit one heading to Southern California for the first time. However, note that he didn't have a taxing final prep and has some lofty racing figs to run back to. So at 8-1, definitely a horse that I think will be right there at the final furlong.
Okay, is that the one you'd side with then? Would you take a bit of a chance at 8-1?
I would probably look at Gentleman's Bet and Fast Bullet, those two.
Okay, good. The final race we're going to look at is the Breeders' Cup Classic, the big race of the evening. But before we get to there, just I just wouldn't mind getting your thoughts quickly on the Breeders' Cup Mile, because we have Wise Dan back to defend his crown. And as far as the Europeans are concerned, the big hope for us over in Britain is Olympic glory for Richard Hannan and Richard Hughes. How is it shaping up over there? Is it seen as a bit of a battle between those two over there, or is Wise Dan much more popular?
Wise Dan is so popular. He's trading almost at even money at this point. I'd be actually surprised if it didn't even dip below that. The mile at Santa Anita's produced some stirring results. Looking at, most recently in 08 and 09, Goldakova dominated the landscape of Philly beating boys. And, now we have Wise Dan taking to the stage as he attempts to join horses like Lore, Goldakova, in repeater heaven. So common sense would dictate that the Europeans shouldn't do well in a Santa Anita BC mile. Of course, they've got to cross the pond. They have to run on a firm surface that they probably haven't seen before and deal with all these tight turns. I think that Wise Dan will try and even the score here. For Stowe's trying to get on the board with an upsetter. You know, I really think you need to take a look at all of the angles that Wise Dan has, and much is being pointed to this horse. And I think that if there's ever going to be a person that wants to look for a single, Wise Dan is probably going to be it.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, the final race that we're going to look at is the big race of the evening, the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's over a mile and a quarter, and nearly $3 million on offer to the winner of this. And is Game On Dude as popular as I'd expect him to be over there? I mean, he just wins and wins and wins, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. You know, this is a horse that just matches up in so many ways to you know, to have the eyes of a contender. I have a feeling that its current 8-5 line is probably fair. I mean, we take a look at his races, and there's so little that you can say you know, as a negative for this horse. I really feel that you just have to include this horse on all of your tickets. You know, we're looking at so many of his achievements. He's a road warrior. He's basically winning no matter where he goes. $5.6 million U.S. in earnings. Running on his home dirt on Saturday. You know, the only thing that you may, if you really have to play a devil's advocate and take a, somehow if you wanted to make a minor stand against this horse, it would be age. You know, and actually, if you take a look at it, no six-year-old and up, not even the Great Cigar has won a classic. You know, but there's, I know I'm being picky here, but it's honestly a horse that I wouldn't be surprised one bit to see this horse pull away at the end and win it. I have a feeling that, you know, with, you know, I just noticed there's some news that Ron the Greek was scratched with a quarter crack, and that changes the complexity of the race a little bit. You know, and I feel that maybe speed, maybe something that may have to be considered here along the likes of horses like Moreno will take charge. Another three-year-old, Palace Malice. But it's still Game On Dude. And with a morning line of 8-5, I don't think it's going to be wavering much higher than that.
Okay. Game On Dude then in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Should be a great night to look forward to on Saturday. Before you go, Robert, what's the main talking horse in America at the moment? Which is the one that's really attracting the money that seems to have caught the imagination?
I think with so much discussions on social media and in the news, everyone's looking up at the Classic, and they want to watch, of course, Game On Dude. But, of course, there's racing on Friday as well, which, of course, is the following day in the U.K. But let's not forget the Distaff, and everyone is also following that race closely, and everyone wants to see what will happen between the matchup again of Princess of Silmar and Royal Delta. And so it's been a very big discussion, and everyone wants to see, of course, Royal Delta coming back and looking for the rarest of Breeders' Cup feeds, and that's a three-peat. And so, you know, much discussion has been made about whether Royal Delta will be able to do that and hold off the likes of Princess of Silmar and others like Beholder and Close Hatches.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah, really looking forward to Saturday evening, and really interesting thoughts there from you, Robert. Thank you very much for talking to us, and enjoy on Friday and Saturday.
Thanks so much. Always a pleasure. Thanks again.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.